Ada.
As one art critic once said, the paintings of Josef Lada accompany Czechs from cradle to grave. He's as well known for his illustrations of fairy tales and children's readers as he is for his landscapes, which each Christmas are printed thousands of times over on the front of the nation's Christmas cards. Lada was also the artist who gave the grinning, rotund, good soldier Schweik his form. Pavla Pechinkova teaches at the Academy of Fine Arts in Prague. Over the years, she's become one of the country's leading experts on Josef Lada.
Lada se narodil v Hrusicích, to je blízko Prahy, byl syn ševce.
Josef Lada was born in Hrusice, which is close to Prague, in 1887. He was the son of a shoemaker. The family was poor and Lada was born in a little cottage with a turf roof. When he was very little, he had an accident, which meant that he could barely see out of one of his eyes, if at all. When he finished primary school, he went straight into an apprenticeship. He trained to become a house painter. Already as a child, he displayed great talent as an artist, but the family couldn't afford to let him go and study fine art. Painting houses was the closest he could get to that.
Povolání, které je dost blízko jeho zájmu.
Lada gave up house painting after 6 or so months and set off for Prague to earn a living there. His first attempt was unsuccessful, and so, after several weeks, he came back to Hrušice with his tail between his legs. Unbeaten, Lada set out for Prague again, where he got a job as a bookbinder, which he really seemed to enjoy. He tried to get into the city's design school on 3 successive occasions, without any luck. When he finally did it on his 4th try, he stuck with it for less than a term. So was Josef Lada a bit of a rebel in his youth?
Ne, naopak, Lada je považován za takového hodného venkovského syna.
No, not at all. Lada is often considered to be a good, kind country boy at heart, who for all of his life stayed faithful to his little country village, his Hrušice, and who returned to this village again and again in his work. But this isn't the truth entirely. He was obviously a strong character, even when he was very young. He was no backward country boy. He settled into city life very quickly in Prague, and he found work. He illustrated his first children's book in the 1920s, in a secessionist style. He also became involved in Prague anarchist groups, where he got to know Jaroslav Hašek.
Kde se taky seznámil s Jaroslavem Haškem?
Jaroslav Hašek was a well-known hellraiser in Prague in the 1920s. He's also the author of one of the best-known books written in the Czech language, The Good Soldier Schweik. A recent exhibition of Lada's work at the Municipal House in Prague documented the cooperation between Hašek and Lada. Its organiser, Jan Treštík, talked me through the pair's relationship.
Lada had very close relation to Hašek, the famous writer. And so he painted many, many variations of the famous figure, Schweik, which was the figure from the book by Hašek. And it's, you know, it's one of the most famous book also abroad from the Czech literature. And here you see from the beginning, early variants of Hašek to the past, because there were many editions. And interesting is that we start like in, I think, with the first edition, which was 23 or 24, I'm not sure, and it goes even to 53, 55, which was the last which he painted. And you see, it's different. It's very different.
But isn't it true that Josef Lada wasn't Mr. Hašek's first choice to be the illustrator for the Schweik books? He actually chose another illustrator.
Yeah, right. You are right. I don't know so much details about this, but I don't know who was the first. I think it was Muzika, but I'm not sure. I don't want to be exact. We have to ask.
At the beginning of his career, Josef Lada drew a lot of satirical pictures and cartoons, even though he's best known now for his tranquil landscape scenes. Here's Pavla Pechinkova again.
ty jeho začátky, ty jsou velice různorodé. On se pokoušel prosadit jako...
At the start of his career, he would draw in all sorts of different styles. He set out to establish himself as a caricaturist and published works under tens of different pen names. He experimented with all sorts of various styles which were being employed elsewhere in these satirical drawings of the time. So his repertoire is huge, but his own individual style gradually develops and crystallizes around the year 1920. By 1920, Ladda is a fully developed artist, and he has adopted this specific original drawing style, which is typical for him, these thick black lines. It's this style, based on these dark black outlines, which makes him famous today.
Který teda ho proslavil.
Mrs. Pečinková has a theory about the inky black line that became Ladda's signature.
To, že pracoval pro média, jako samozřejmě ovlivnilo, a myslím si, že právě se promítlo...
The fact that he spent a long time working for the media obviously had an effect upon his work. Because he drew cartoons and illustrations for newspapers, he had to work with a strong line because it had to be visible on bad quality paper and be able to withstand constant reprinting.
Která snese ty otisky.
Milé děti, budu vám teď vypravovat něco, co mi asi vůbec nebudete chtít věřit.
Ale... Ladda illustrated volume upon volume of fairy tales and even wrote a few of his own. You just heard the start of Kocour Mikesh or Mikesh the Tomcat, a story by Ladda about a speaking cat. Testimony to the popularity of this tale is the number of black cats called Mikesh in the country even today. Even his more classical oil paintings for adults seem to have a bit of a fairy tale quality to them. I asked Pavla Pečinková whether she thought Ladda created his very own parallel universe in his paintings.
Ano, Ladda si maluje svůj svět. Dokonce se mu zazlívá.
Yes, Ladda does paint a world all of his own. And this came under a lot of criticism. In the 1990s, it was very fashionable to have a go at Ladda for not including any evil in this parallel universe. In Ladda's paintings, there is no sex, no violence, no death. The artist was criticized for presenting a dangerous ideal. I think that creating a parallel world as a form of escapism is not just something that Ladda does. All sorts of artists were doing this in the 1930s and throughout both of the world wars. The artist had the choice of using his art to engage with the surroundings or to escape them. Ladda was one of these introverts and sought inspiration from within. In his pictures, it is eternal spring. There is harmony, children are playing. It's a world of positive values.
Je to svět pozitivních hodnot.
One of Ladda's favourite times of year was Christmas. Here, from our own radio archives, is an excerpt of the artist talking about the festive season. The way that he poeticises Christmas maybe gives you a bit of a feel for how his paintings look.
Od jasno jiskření bílého sněhu, výskotu sánkující dědí, až po teple růže usínání dne...
The sparkling brightness of the white snow and the whistles of children on sleighs. As the warm, rosy glow of the dying day gives way to the blue of the night, which for me always ended with the trumpet call of the night watchman and the dogs barking in the neighbouring villages. It may be children who expect their dreams to come true on Christmas Eve, but Christmas affects everyone one way or another. The smell of different foods being prepared for the Christmas table, mixed with the characteristic smell of the Christmas tree, that pure bit of nature brought into the home.
Ten kousek čisté přírody v domově.
Ladda died in 1957, but thanks to his originality and perhaps the enormous amount of different things that he did, his work is still very popular amongst Czechs today. A recent retrospective of his work was even prolonged due to public demand. It eventually closed this week. Jan Treštík, who was behind the exhibition, explains Ladda's enduring appeal.
He is so popular because everybody understands the visual style. It's clear to everyone. Like, you see this illustration, so children like it, parents like it, everybody likes it. There is no abstract, no something expression or cubistic. So this could be one exploitation. It should be not mixed with Lada, that he, because if you use simple visual style, if you use and concentrate or focus on simple things of life, like if you see these people in a pubs or these landscape springs and winter landscape, it's very romantic and poetic and it's very quiet and nice. It doesn't mean that he was also a simple person or just a naive person. You have to really look more deeply inside him. It was also in my case, I changed the point of Lada during preparation of the exhibition, because I was more one of the person who belongs to the group. They say, yeah, I know Lada, there is nothing new, what I can discover them more. It's clear, and I saw them things many, many times. But when you are in everyday in contact with the things and you see it, then you realize, wow, there's probably more. And this I now see with different eyes.